Chapter 3. Farewell to Birtwick Park. One night, a few days after John left, I was asleep on my straw. I woke up suddenly because the stable bell was ringing. There was a bell in all the stables. The master and his family rang it when they needed a groom. James was staying with his mother that night. I heard John leaving his cottage and running to the master's house. Then he quickly came to the stable and woke me up. "Get up, Black Beauty, be quick," he said, and quickly put on the saddle and the bridle. He took me at a fast trot to the master's house. The squire was standing at the door holding a lantern. "John, you must go to Hartford and fetch the doctor. Mrs. Gordon is very ill. Give this note to the doctor. Go as fast as you can. Give Black Beauty a rest at the inn. Come back in the morning," he said in a hurry. John was on my back in a minute. I galloped very fast on the road along the river. When we came to the bridge, John pulled my reins a little and patted my neck. I knew I could go slower on the bridge, but I didn't. I continued to gallop. We went through the village and up the hill, and then down the hill. When we arrived at Hartford, the town was very quiet. Everyone was asleep. We were at the doctor's door when the church clock struck 3. John knocked on his door. The doctor looked down at us from a window.
"Who is that? What do you want?" he asked loudly.
"Squire Gordon sent me. His wife is very ill. It is urgent. The mistress can die," said John. "And here is a note for you." "I am coming down," the doctor said, and he was at the door in less than a minute. He read the note and said, "Oh, I must go there right away. But my horse is ill, and my son went away with my other horse. Can I take your horse?"
"Well, he needs a rest. He's galloped all the way here. But I think you should ride him. There's nothing else to do," John said.
"I will get ready now," said the doctor, and went in to put on his riding clothes and boots. While we were waiting for the doctor, John patted me and said, "Sorry, Beauty, but you will travel back now." When the doctor came out of his house, there was a whip in his hand. John said, "Oh, you don't need that, sir. This horse runs very fast. And take good care of him." The doctor said, "Do not worry. I will be careful." He got on my back, and off we went. It was not a difficult trip, but I was very tired and hot. I did not feel well. The doctor was heavier than John, and he was not a good rider. But I didn't care because I knew the mistress was in trouble. I had to do my best to save her. When we arrived at Birtwick Park, the squire led the doctor into the house, and little Joe Green took me to the stable. I could hardly stand on my feet. I couldn't breathe well. I was feeling very weak and hot. Water was running down my legs. Little Joe rubbed my legs. He gave me lots of cold water. Then he gave me some food and said, "Go to sleep now. You will feel better in the morning." But he did not put my cloth over my body. He thought it would make me hotter. I lay on my straw and tried to sleep, but I couldn't. I waited for John to come back and look after me. John came back in the morning after walking 12 kilometers. He came to the stable. He was worried because I looked very sick and hot.
"Oh, what happened to you, my beauty?" he asked.
Then
He put 2 pieces of warm cloth on me. He made a warm drink. I drank it and went to sleep. Before I slept, I heard John say to himself, "Foolish boy, he gave cold water to an ill horse. He didn't even put his cloth on him." I was ill for many weeks. They moved Ginger and Merrylegs to another stable. My lungs were ill, and I had a high temperature. The horse doctor came every day and gave me some medicine. John stayed with me for several hours every day. And he came to see me 2 or 3 times every night. Everyone thought I was dying. The squire also often came and saw me. He was very worried about me. One day he said, "Thank you, my poor beauty. You saved my wife's life." His words made me very happy. And John said to the squire, "Black Beauty is such a fast runner. He galloped so fast that night. Perhaps he knew that the mistress was very ill." In fact, I did. I tried to do my best to help my dear mistress. Finally, I recovered. I was well and happy again. But I began to fear sad changes. I heard that Mrs. Gordon was very ill. The doctor often came to see her. Squire Gordon was sad and worried all the time. One day, the doctor told him that they must go to a warmer country and live there for 3 or 4 years. So, the squire decided to leave England. This made everyone sad. I was very sad, too. And so were the other horses. Squire Gordon made arrangements to move to a country in southern Europe. After that, John was always in a low mood, and little Joe stopped singing. One evening, the girls came to the stable to see Merrylegs for the last time and to say goodbye to us. They were leaving with their governess the next day. The squire wanted them to go to the new home first. The squire had plans for us, too. He was giving Merrylegs to the old churchman, Bloomfield. His wife, Mrs. Bloomfield, wanted a pony for herself. Joe was going with Merrylegs. "Mr. Bloomfield will never sell Merrylegs. He will stay with them until he dies. Joe will look after Merrylegs and will do some tasks around the house," John told us. He then turned to me and said, "Our master has sold you to his old friend, the Earl of Westland. The Earl is a very good and kind man. You will have a good life there. Squire Gordon trusts him very much. Don't worry. You will be happy there." On their last night at Birtwick, the squire visited us at the stable and patted us for the last time. Then he talked to John about some new jobs for him. "I want to be a horse trainer. I will open a place for horse training. I love horses and they like me. Horses need kind trainers like me," John told the squire. "That's a very good idea. I hope you'll be successful," said the squire. "I can't thank you enough for your long, faithful service." "Please don't thank me, sir. You and my dear mistress have done so much for me. I can never repay you." "And I shall never forget you, sir," said John sadly. "I hope my mistress will recover soon, and we can see you here again." The master shook John's hand. "It is very difficult for me to part from Birtwick and from all of you," he said in a sad voice. Then they both went out of the stable. In the morning, Ginger and I brought the carriage up to the master's door. The master was carrying the mistress in his arms. He placed her carefully in the carriage. All the servants were crying. John drove the carriage, and Joe sat next to him. We trotted slowly through the village. The villagers were standing at their doors. They waved goodbye to the squire. We arrived at the station. When the master and his wife got on the train, John's eyes were filled with tears. Little Joe was also crying. After the train took off, John said, "We will never see the mistress again, I am afraid." Then we began to go home. But it was not our home anymore. The next morning after breakfast, Joe came to the stable and said goodbye to us. Then he drove the mistress's small, low carriage with merry legs to Mr. Bloomfield's house. And John got on Ginger's back and put the leading rein on me. Now, Ginger and I were on our way to Earls Hall Park, our new home.